to episode 4 of Books and Cake, the podcast. My guest today is my lovely friend Julia.
Hello.
You sounded like you were trying to be like a Londoner police officer.
Oh god, no.
Hello, governor.
No, kind of please thing. Don't.
No. Okay, what type of cake do we have today?
We have red velvet.
That actually turned out better than expected.
However, there's no icing, so.
I didn't have enough icing sugar, and the icing turned out slightly runny, so we're just having the plain
sponge.
Well, it's not just plain sponge. It's basically a glorified chocolate cake.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. And I used Cupcake Gemma's recipe. Really, really easy to make.
I like how I have a red puppy on my plate.
I just got a plain one because I like bought extra cupcake cases for this as well because I don't bake that much anymore, so I ended up going into Hobbycraft and was just like, I need cupcake cases, and then found the cheapest like selection of ones and was like, okay, they're pretty.
Yeah, my mom usually is the baker in the family. I occasionally experiment, but you know.
Okay, so I ask all my guests this. So, what is your favourite book?
See, I'm undecided on that. I've got some few that are up there. It's not. I'm not actually like particularly sure which one's my favourite.
So, first one that comes to your head?
Probably Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone.
And yet, it's the Philosopher's Stone, not the Sorcerer's Stone. I don't understand that. And like, I read the first few books on, like, the English version, but I got a pen drive from someone that had, like, loads of Kindle books on it, and it had all the Harry Potter series, but it's the American version.
Oh.
And it has certain things changed, and you notice it, because, like, one of the, so, Dumbledore's favourite sweet is a lemon sherbet. They don't know what a lemon sherbet is in America. So they changed it to lemon drop. And you're like, it's not the same thing. A lemon sherbet is a lovely lemon sweetie and you have like sherbet stuff inside. And
yeah,
when you get to it, it kind of fizzes and everything. It's a really good sweet. But Harry Potter, classic.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Definitely. It's just so good. So good. And you just read it and it's just like...
See, I think I've enjoyed the first book more than I've enjoyed like the actual movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because they miss out some, like, key scenes in it.
Peeves. Have you met Peeves?
Yeah.
Peeves is so good. Anyone who hasn't read the books, honestly, read the books. Even if you've watched the films. I read the books after watching the films, and so did you. And it's kind of like you get, like, extra scenes that's been deleted. And it just makes it so much better.
But, like, the character descriptions are even better than they actually, like, are... creating the films. Like Hagrid is just like you know, he looks totally different than what you'd think he should have looked like.
Yeah. I really love Ginny in the books as well.
I haven't got to Ginny yet, so.
This is a weekly podcast, so every week we have our special book of the week, which is a different genre every single week. So the book of the week is If I Stay, which is a contemporary novel, and what is it about?
Well,
in the blur.
To simplify it, basically, Mia is the main character of this book, and she got into a car accident with her parents and her younger brother, and she's having like a out of body kind of experience, and she's basically watching all this unfold, and she's. Should I call them flashbacks?
Yeah, they are flashbacks. So she's kind of having flashbacks to things that's happened.
Good and bad things that have happened back in the past. And then in the end, she needs to decide if she wants to come back and stay alive as an orphan without...
spoilers.
Spoilers.
It's fine.
And without a younger brother to like live with her grandparents. Because I think that's who she would stay with after, you know, she recovers and stuff. But it's a hard choice. If you had the choice between staying and going, it's hard.
Do you understand like both sides?
Yeah, she does kind of explain the whole like thing. Like mm-hmm. if I stay, there's these consequences,
and that's why it's called If I Stay.
And then the other, and then it's like the other consequences if she leaves, and it's, you know, it's a really good book.
It's Gail Forman, absolutely fantastic book. Really, really recommend it. This is a reread for me, so I must have read it. I think I watched the trailer for the film and then I read the book, because I quite like reading the books, but I still haven't seen all the film. But definitely read the book.
I have watched the movie. It's not great.
So, yeah. Okay, so first of all, favorite character?
Definitely Mia.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's obviously my favorite character.
See, I like Mia, but at the same time, I've got here fave characters, Adam/Kim/Teddy, because I think they all have like these little pockets of like personality.
Yeah.
Like I love Adam because he's like, he like from the description of him, he looks like he would be this kind of like laddish kind of guy, and then he's just kind of a complete music nerd, and like Maya is a complete music nerd as well, and they like go together so nicely.
Adam is from like the punk side of music, she's from the classical side, and like I think combining that is like a really like,
they're like
really nice mix.
Yeah.
I think it's really nice. Like,
even though they have different types of music they're into, their love for music actually brings them together,
and it's so like, sweet.
Oh, it's so good. And then you have Kim. Kim is such a badass.
Yeah.
She's such a good friend. What was one of the bits?
I love Kim as well. She's amazing.
Oh, it's when she's in when she goes to the hospital with her mum, and her mum is starting to like,
yeah, she's a freak out. Hysterics.
And like Kim is like, why are you? I'm gonna actually find it. It's on the verge of, she's not gone. You're not allowed to cry because I'm not allowed to cry. She's my friend. I'm allowed to cry, but if she goes, that's the only reason.
Yeah. No, I love Kim. She's like a really great friend. I think of all the characters, I think she's like one of the most badass of all of them.
Yeah, definitely. And then we've got Teddy.
Oh,
I love Teddy.
He's so precious.
He's so cute, and you don't realize how young he is.
Eight.
Eight?
Yeah, he's eight.
I always think he's 10.
Yeah, he's 8 in the book.
Is he 8?
Yeah. But like, in the movie that I watched, he looks right about, like, around about the age of, like, 5, 6.
Hmm.
Yeah. And they really did not cast him correctly.
Hmm. Oh, wow. Okay. We'll go through some good, like, lines and some scenes and all this other stuff. So, there's some lines in this book that are beautifully written, and there's some that are just like really, really funny.
Mm-hmm.
So, did you say your favorite scene?
Yeah, my potential favorite. I don't think I picked out a favorite scene.
Was the favorite line the social services frowns upon 10-year-olds? Mia's on her like first cello recital, and she's getting really, really nervous, and her dad is kind of, she asks her dad kind of like, okay, how do I beat nerves? Because he's a musician. And her mum comes along and just goes, yeah, he just got
wasted.
He just got completely wasted and
threw
up on the stage. So, and this is when they're kind of like, your mother's probably right. Social services frowns upon 10-year-olds, a drunk 10-year-old.
Drunken 10-year-olds.
Which I just thought, I
laughed.
Oh, it's just, and then she just finally goes on to do this.
I also think that's like the sweetest scene, is just them sitting there talking about it. Mm-hmm. I think it's really sweet.
Because I like that it's like the, that's like part of the scene of her like becoming to fall in love with learning the cello and
mm-hmm.
fall in love with music.
Yeah.
And there's just so much love in this book, and it's so good, and I just really love it. I'm saying love again. But, wait, what was your favourite scene again?
It was the scene where she was, like, trying to escape her first recital.
Okay, that scene, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm going to. Sorry, that was me buzzing. Yeah. And then it goes into the social services French one. Sorry, I was reading that and I was reading the line below as well. So there's a lot of beautiful description in this book. So one of my favourite just lines in general. So it was your sticky note that was like lovely description of dead parents. I didn't know if you were being sarcastic or if you were just being kind of like...
I was trying to like let off the spirits after like being died.
Lovely description. No, so I've been... This year I've been doing higher music. So a lot of the... There's a lot of like musical description in this. So this line especially. So they've just crashed. And she's starting to have her like outer body experience. And it goes, and there was so much noise, a symphony of grinding, a chorus of popping, an aria of exploding, and finally the sad clapping of hard metal cutting into soft trees. And it just, it's as if Maya herself is like explaining all of this. And she's using all of her like musical descriptions to kind of go, because like symphony, it's your musical big... orchestra, stuff like that. Chorus, it's all your sound effect, all your people singing. And aria is, this is when my brain stops. It's a song in an opera.
Alright.
My music teacher's going to be so happy with me.
Yeah.
And he's just got the sad clapping, so like it's like the end of a show.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that. So, like, the sad clapping of metal, it's, like, the end of the whole show that's happened.
Yeah, the whole end of them actually finishing the crash.
This symphony is, like, the big thingy. You've got your chorus, which is all your, like, main part of the song, your aria, which is kind of going slow to the end, and then the sad clapping. And, oh. I love, like, finding scenes and then just going, yes, so good.
I don't think I put anything to do with one of the scenes is when they're trying to get into the actual ambulance after the paramedics get there. And like when they're checking her like heartbeat and stuff like that, there's a part where it's like one of my breasts is exposed. That's the exact line. And I'm like, oh my goodness.
It's because like she's seen herself like lying unconscious.
Yeah.
And they're trying to like make sure she's okay and everything, and it's just the fact it's like one of my breasts was exposed.
I look away embarrassed.
I looked away embarrassed because it was
also there's
it was very interesting line.
Yeah.
I'm a perv.
I am a perv. That's like, you know.
So we've come to the conclusion that Maya is quite a kinky person.
Yes.
Because there's a few
scenes.
Okay, we're gonna start with the
my favorite one.
Wait, did the because it was the bit it was the page 65, which was the first kind of
inappropriate
bit. So Adam, her boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah, they were boyfriend at that point. Like boyfriend and girlfriend at that point.
Yeah. He's on stage performing because he's in this band. And Maya's in the... Is it Maya or Mia?
I think it's Mia.
Mia. We're going to go with Mia. So keep on going. Maya.
I think it's Mia.
So Mia is watching him from the audience. And she goes... And when he came off stage afterwards, he would be sweaty, but in such a clean sweat that part of me was tempted to lick the side of his face like a lollipop. Then it stops the sentence and goes... I didn't know. So I like that. It's like her brain's kind of going, oh my god, that would be, nope, I didn't know, because I'm not a crazy person.
Yeah, no, I think if she did look her boyfriend's face, it'd be slightly disturbing.
But But it's like she's such just like calm and quiet and collected person, and then you're seeing inside her brain.
And then you get into her head, and it's like all this like inappropriate weird stuff.
And then it goes on to, what is one of my all-time favorite like beginning of makeout or sex scene?
I'm not sure if it was a sex scene or if it was makeup scene. There's kinky stuff happening.
Okay, so it's, I think it's the modern day, paint me like your French girl.
Yeah, definitely.
Paint me like a French girl. Instead of that, it's, I want you to play me like a cello.
Yep.
And she takes out her bow, takes out her extra bow, and actually plays him like a cello. But it's very, like, the description is very sensual, will we say? Sensual? Is that
right? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
So, yeah, because he kind of goes, play me. What? I want you to play me like a cello. I know he's not British, but then, I just think. And then it was, I sat down next to him on the bed, perpendicular to his hips, so his long body was stretched out in front of me. And then I fiddled with his ears as though they were the string pegs, and then I playfully tickled him as he laughed softly. And then he does all, she does all the usual, you know, cello-related stuff on Adam's body. And then
they flip and she plays her like a guitar.
And then they like kiss and all, they make out a bit, and then it's like, my turn, he said. And then,
they switch to,
he sat down on the bed and laid me across his lap.
Kinky.
At first, Adam did nothing except hold me. And it just, then he began to play. And then I think they just,
I don't know if they did anything else except,
I think it was just a weird
feeling and touching kind of thing
scene, because that's what you do casually on a, I don't even know what they did before. No, they had dinner with the family as well.
They had dinner with the family, and then he went up to her room, and things got rather interesting.
Can we? Oh wait, what was it?
It was a weird word.
That was more hesitant. Oh, the weird word. Yeah. We found a word we didn't really know, so I don't even remember what context this is in. I think Kim said it. So, non-denominational, which is, it took me a while to say it, but it sounds like this, if it allows me to play it. I'm going to do that again.
Shall I read out the actual whole sentence?
Yeah, read out the sentence.
So, like, the sentence she puts it in is, this is the hospital's idea of non-den, I can't say that word.
Non-denominational.
There you go.
Or,
and then it says she points around the chapel.
So it's like, so I think it's basically
something to do with religion and stuff.
So the description on Google is open or acceptable of to people of any Christian denomination. So it basically means it's more towards the Christian faith than anything else. But, like, it was like, where's this?
Like, where's the, because there is a part where she asks, like, where's, like, the part for the Buddhists and the part for the Jews?
That's that bit.
Yeah, that's where she describes that. And I think, I mean, I've never been to a hospital chapel before, so I don't know how that looks. But I think it is more leaning towards the, like, Christian side of stuff, because
I think
the majority of the population is Christians or Catholics.
I don't know. Well, I think it's more because she's kind of praying, and she's like, I don't know if it's her way of a coping mechanism of just kind of
criticizing things.
Criticizing things and just trying to be herself.
Mm-hmm.
So the birth scene.
Yeah.
I love the birth scene.
It was cute, definitely.
It was so cute. Because the dad seems quite like a hard kind of...
Like a hardcore kind of guy.
It's yeah,
like, hardcore. Wouldn't cry about anything.
And then he's kind of a bit more... Oh, he doesn't know what to do during the birth. He doesn't know how to help. He's really freaked out. And then she, like, comes out, and then he just starts crying.
Yeah.
I think that made me, like, cry a little bit as well.
I think I just sat there, like, oh, that's so sweet.
It's so cute.
Then, like, there's a part where she, like, discusses with her, like, it's not really her uncle because they're not blood related, but she calls him her uncle, kind of. You know, because she grew up with him being around.
Mm-hmm.
What was his name? Henry or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, Teddy's birth scene.
Yeah.
And then so, he says about the...
How he cried. Sobbed like a baby.
Yeah, he cried like a baby.
Yeah. I don't think that was adorable.
Yeah. Okay. The Halloween costumes.
That was a very interesting...
I love the Halloween costume bit. It just kind of... Well, first of all... When he turns up and he's holding the bag and I like the way he is like, he was holding a bag, a dress. No, he was holding a dress and bag. Or he was holding a bag? I think it was
Let me check.
I may have typed this up late at night, so.
He was holding a dress bag. Dress bag and wearing a eating grin.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So you had extra and in there.
Yeah. And then it turns out he's...
Mozart,
there we go. And then I like when Teddy asks about... So
because he's dressed up as a little devil.
And then he's like, is it too childish wearing like pajamas and stuff? And it's like, yeah, Teddy goes, really? You don't think the pajamas make it look dumb? I don't want anyone to laugh at me. And then Adam just highlights their absolutely adorable relationship. He's like, red pajamas plus pitchfork plus devil ears and pointy tail is so fully satanic, no one would dare challenge you lest they risk eternal damnation. And you're just like, yes. Yeah.
I think it's a sweet relationship between, like, the brother and the boyfriend. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, my brother has never met any of my significant others.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if he did, he'd hate them all. So it's sweet how they like
younger,
each other.
Because it's a younger brother.
Yeah.
He's, like, being very nice and...
Mm.
It's just
cute. I have two younger brothers, so little shits.
No, I've got an older brother, so... Who's on one of these podcasts. Oh my gosh. What was the 118 make you cry?
Yeah, it was... Like Adam, it was a certain scene about Adam and Mia.
Was it when they were going into... trying to get into the ICU?
I think so.
Because they wouldn't allow him to go in because he wasn't a member of the family.
Yeah, I think it was that part, actually.
And they made this...
That's a lot of sticky notes.
Two sticky notes on one thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's when...
He, like, comes to the hospital and... Isn't it?
Oh, no, it was this bit. So they've tried to get in, like, using the band.
This band and the other girl. I can't remember her name.
I don't remember her name either. And at the... So Adam basically puts his whole, like... He just kind of collapses onto Kim into like a hug.
Yeah.
And it's,
because in the book, she explains how she was like pushing Adam and Kim together to be friends. Because yes. She wanted to be them to be friends. And I think at that point, Mia realized that they were friends all along.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, you know, it's heartbreaking because he can't go in and see his girlfriend who's in critical condition, and you know that they're like super in love with each other. So it's heartbreaking.
Okay. Next part. So that was another why don't guys like Adam exist? What one? I cry now. Okay, this is the bit like that really.
Is this the speech from the granddad?
No.
I can't remember where this that part was. This is.
Because I did it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you find out at the basically near the beginning.
Oh, it's that, the death of her little brother, and yeah. Then it's the death and.
And it's the
birthing scene.
Willow, yeah, so Willow, who's like a friend of the family, mm-hmm. who works in the other hospital that Teddy's in, actually comes to the hospital that Mia's in. And it's like, why is she, and it was like, she was going through all the things, and then she was like, and that's how I know Teddy, he's gone too. And then it just goes straight into his birth scene.
Like, it just cuts you off with that part, and it's like, oh my goodness.
That made me sob.
Yeah, no, I sat there crying. I was trying not to get tears on your book, though. I was like, no.
I sobbed through all of that scene.
Yeah, no, and it was then, horrible.
Like, when they were doing that.
I think it's like, also...
the whole birth scene. And
I think
then,
it's also, like, really sweet how, like... she always has, like, this bond with her little brother, how, like, something she has to do and her mom can't.
Yeah.
It's so sweet.
Mm-hmm. And then I said, page 164, which is, like, when you find out he's dead.
Yeah.
To 176. So that includes, like, his birth scene.
And
so
his
when
birth.
He's dead, his birth scene, just, like, talked about Teddy all... just to do with that, and then Mia realizing that there's so many things that Teddy will no longer be able to
yeah.
do.
You know, have his first girlfriend play in a band, and
just like that whole that whole chunk, I was just a mess. I like sobbed really really hard.
Yeah, no, I was reading this during like. The evening, so like my parents were in bed and stuff, so I had to like sob quietly.
Yeah, it was just
yeah.
You definitely have tissues on hand because
yeah, this book is a roller coaster.
Punch you in the gut continuously.
It's really like a huge roller coaster ride.
Definitely. Sorry, just.
It's like 1 minute you're crying, the next you're laughing, and the next mm-hmm. you're crying again.
And then
next you're part of like, oh, okay, that happens.
No, it's when she kind of goes bad again that made me cry.
Mm.
And what was it? Then it goes on to 235. The Kim is such a good friend.
Kim is a really great friend.
No, it's when she goes into it and she just talks to her, like, normally.
Yeah.
Instead of just,
you know, acting like she's not there.
Mm-hmm. I like that bit.
I think that's really nice because, like, if you were in a coma but you could hear whatever things that are happening around you, I think it would be great to just hear someone talking to you like you're a normal human being, not that you're, mm-hmm. like, in critical condition. You could... go at any moment.
Mm-hmm. I like the little party thing they have as well. When
the whole,
they
like,
invite everybody.
Yeah, and they play like they have
and
like a campfire
like,
at the end.
We'll make it a blowout like the olden days, and then Teddy does the when dinosaurs roamed the earth, and then the dad's like, exactly, when dinosaurs roamed the earth and your mom and I were young.
Yeah, I love that line.
I love that line, it's so nice. And then
so sweet.
They like get Mia to jam with them, and then all of a sudden you have the most heartbreaking speech on earth, which
is...
Will I read it?
You should.
Okay. So, this is near the end, and Adam is trying to convince her to stay. So, he's, like, went away and he's came back, and he just... Stay. With that one word, Adam's voice catches, but he swallows the emotion and pushes forward. There's no word for what happened to you. There's no good side of it, but there is something to live for. And I'm not talking about me. It's just, I don't know. Maybe I'm talking shit. I know I'm in shock. I know I haven't digested what happened to your parents, to Teddy. When he says Teddy, his voice cracks and an avalanche of tears tumble down his face. And I think, I love you. And it just keeps going, and he keeps saying about all these things. And then at the last bit, he's like, if you stay, I'll do whatever you want. I'll quit the band, go with you to New York. But if you need me to go away, I'll do that too. I was talking to Liz and she said maybe coming back to your old life would just be too painful. That maybe it'd be easier for you to erase us, and that would suck, but I'd do it. I can lose you like that if I don't... What? No, I can lose you like if I don't lose you today. I'll let you go if you stay.
Also, there's like a part where he says, don't make me write that song. You know, because they had like this whole discussion how Adam never writes songs about Mia. And
but it's because...
Because he's not good at writing sappy songs. Mm-hmm. So he goes, like, you'd have to, like, cheat on me for me to write a song about you.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point where he finally gets to go in and see her, he says, don't make me write the song.
Mm-hmm.
Because, it just, you know...
It's just so well written.
Mm-hmm.
I just love it. And... It's kind of a cliffhanger. It's not really a cliffhanger, but it really punches you in the gut. So overall, out of 5 stars, what would you give this book?
Definitely a 5 out of 5. Honestly,
I think I'd have to give it a 5 as well, because the pace is really good.
Mm-hmm.
It has, like, your funny parts. It's got your really, really sad
bits. Heartbreaking parts. You've got the
characters are amazing. Yeah.
The character development is amazing.
The description is beautiful. Gil Forman is just a genius overall.
Yeah, definitely.
There is a sequel to the book.
I want to read it.
Which is called Where She Went. And I have read it quite a while ago, and I remember it being quite good. I don't know, I have a feeling it's from Adam's point of view.
Yeah, it is.
It is, okay.
Because I read the description of the book, and it's like the whole point of view of Adam, of like what, I think it's a few months or years after it actually happened, they split up.
Yeah, and it's set in New York.
It's set in New York. I don't know why he's in New York. I'm pretty sure I know why she's in New York, because she got into
Juilliard.
I can't. And then I think they meet on the street, just like out of nowhere, and like the old romance gets rekindled.
Yeah.
And
it's, I remember it being quite good. I might have to reread it, but I've got 101 other things to do. So So If I Stay, Gail Forman, contemporary book, really, really good. If you watch the film, come go and read the book. It's so, so good. Okay, so if you would like to... Oh, 4 minutes. If you'd like to find Julia on Twitter, then what's your Twitter?
It's Julia_Julia3407.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you can follow me at Books and Cake on Twitter. And you can find, if you don't know, this podcast is a little side project off of my blog called Books and Cake, where you can find at www.lauralaursbooksandcake.wordpress.com. And yes, I have memorized that now. So I'll be doing, this is a weekly podcast, so every single week we've got a new book, a new guest, and some new cake. Most of it is homemade, or sometimes I've bought it, but that's fine. So to round up this week's podcast, we have a fun fact for each week. So I've been trying to find different things out about random things. So because Mia plays the cello.
Yeah.
I googled fun facts about the cello, and this was my favourite one. So, originally, cello strings were made out of sheep guts.
Yeah, I read that bit, and I was like, lovely. Yeah. It's like, imagine playing on that.
That would not be very nice, but now, thankfully, metal wiring has become predominant. Sheep guts, though.
Yeah.
He goes, I know, we'll just put sheep guts on a...
Yeah, I read that part and I was just like, Jesus, why would you do that?
Oh, well. Yeah. So, sheep guts on cellos. I don't think you'd be best Googling that, but still. Okay, I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Thank you very much for coming on this week.
Don't watch the film.
And discussing if I stay. So now we're going to go away and finish eating our cake. And we will see you next week. Well, I'll see you next week for a new episode, a new book, some more cake, and another interesting and possibly less disgusting fun fact. Bye.
Bye.